I don't know of any other thing in Minnesota, maybe not this year, but that brings an urgency to a large group of people like winter. Think about it. About the time October 1st comes around, how many of you are either thinking about winter already for a month or are starting to make sure you have your checklist about what needs to come in? The hoses from that's hooked up to the spigot outside, those need to come in. How many of you are that way? Because that's just the way of life here. Yeah, Ken's over here. Yeah, you know, sometimes. I spent, how many years did we spend in the South? I lived in the South from about 2000 till about 2007-ish. And even then, it was just southern Iowa. And so it has taken me quite a while to develop an urgency about September or October, about winter coming. I'm like, well, I got time. And then Thanksgiving comes around, I got time. And all of a sudden, what happens? It's here. And you have all those things that really shouldn't be getting that cold out in the garage. The one thing I did do, I did bring my pressure washer in. You know, that's a good thing. You know, pressure washers tend to explode because of the water inside of them, so you have to bring them in. So I did do one good thing. I did also bring in my hoses so they didn't split. Other than that, you know, I remember back when I was little, every year my mom and dad would go around the house and they would and we lived way out in the country, and so we'd put plastic over the windows because, unlike here, we have trees. They didn't quite have so many trees. And so the wind would blow and sometimes it felt like it just went through your house, right? And there's nothing like a nice cold snap to give you a little bit of urgency. You know, I got to get that thing fixed. And so guess what? This week, how many of you are just chomping at the bit to get outside and do something because, you know, today, tomorrow, the next couple of days are going to be... How many of you are looking forward to being outside? 30-degree weather, bring out the shorts, right? I would not be surprised if we saw people out in shorts this week. I really wouldn't. It would not surprise me whatsoever. But today, as we finish up 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we're going to talk about the last group of people in marriage, but there's going to be this underlying sense that Paul wants to project a sense of urgency to what's going on in our relationships, all right? And so this morning, as we think about this, I want you to put in the back of your mind that we're talking about urgency, and when you see those words, I want you to make a little mental note. Now, this is a large passage of Scripture from 25 to 40, so I'm not going to read all of it, all at once, because that would take quite a bit of time. But I want you to look at at least the first paragraph as we start studying. It says in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I think that in the view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who married will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. Did you see the urgency that Paul leaves in there? What does he say to kind of give us that idea that we need to have a certain type of a focus or a certain type of a mannerism in our life? Did you see some topics in there, some words in there that should cause us to start looking and say, hey, wait a minute, what's he saying? He says the time is short. He says there's seeing in light of the great distress that we're in, let's live like this. So come, let's kind of look at it. First of all, Paul kind of reminds us of what we've already talked about through this passage. Remember that the Corinthians were a very competitive people, and so they were competing with each other spiritually. Let's try to be holier than thou idea. This is the way you live if you want to be the upper echelon of a Christian. There were people in the church who were proposing that men and women should be divorced, and that singleness is the best thing to do, and therefore being single made you holier. And Paul says, no, that's not the case. There was an idea that I need to get out of my current situation to be holier. I need to either become we could bring the idea into, I need to become a pastor in order to make myself more holy. I need to go get a Bible degree to make myself more holy. And Paul says, no, you can work right where you are in the situation that you are, and you can be like Christ. That's the idea. So he says, now concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord. He talks like this earlier, okay? What is he saying? Is this Paul's opinion? It's his opinion? Or, you know, when we look at this, we think, oh, this is just Paul's opinion. Well, this isn't really necessarily what we need to sit here and focus on, because it's not, you know, it's not from Jesus, right? No, what he's saying here is this. Now concerning the betrothed, he says, I have no command from the Lord. He says, Jesus didn't talk about this, but I give my judgment as one who is the Lord's mercy. Also at the end, if you look at the end of the chapter, it says, I also have the Spirit of God. Paul is speaking and knows that he is speaking from a place of inspiration. He knows that he has the Spirit inside of speaking. So when he talks here, he's speaking to this group of people from Jesus. Okay, he says, concerning the betrothed, those who are engaged, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. So in the middle of all this, he's addressing another group of people. We've talked about people who are married. We've talked about people who are divorced. We've talked about people who are single. And there's one last group that he hasn't talked about. It's those who are engaged to be married. And so you can imagine if people are in the church saying, hey, you need to be single in order to be the most spiritual, so you don't have to worry about your family. You can just worry about the Lord and what he wants, and you can basically become an ascetic, someone who is separating themselves from all worldly pleasure, and you can just, you know, you can be that type of really spiritual, pious person. That's what someone in the church at Corinth was saying. And Paul says, and so they were, you know, putting pressure on these engaged couples to say, you know what, you just should not get married. Just don't do it. Just stay single. Paul says, that's not the way to be. That's not what we're talking about here. There's no command from the Lord that says that. You can't be holy just because you're single. You can't be holy just because you're married. Both, you can be holy both ways. But look what he says in that, in the middle of that. He says, I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. What is Paul saying? In view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. You come to these people would come to the church together. They gather, as when I say come to the church, they're coming to gather together. You know, maybe they had been saved and they were in the middle of a relationship. He says, come, he says, remain as you are. Don't seek to get married. Don't break off your engagement. There is a certain sense of urgency. There's something going on at Corinth at this time where he's saying, you need to focus on Jesus. You need to focus on Jesus. And that's the priority that we set in our lives. He says, this is what I mean by this, brothers, from the appointed time, for the appointed time has grown very short. This is in verse 29. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. The present form of the world is passing away. Paul is talking to these people, and he's showing them that they have a wrong view of what life is all about, of what the Christian should be all about. The top priority for every Christian should be what? What's the top priority for every Christian? Whether you're married, unmarried, engaged, what's the top priority? Jesus. Absolutely. Jesus is what is important. He says, this world is passing away. There's only so much time that we have in this world. There's only so much time that we have to minister to the world around us. There's only so much time that we have that we can influence the people in the place that we're at. So the question is, do we have that sense of urgency? Do we have a sense of urgency? Do we see winter coming? This is hard for me. This is hard for me sometimes because when we look at the scriptures, we think, oh, you know what? I'm good. We think, oh, you know, this is where I live. It's good. I take care of the things that I need to take care of today, and I'll work on the things that I need to take care of tomorrow. And sometimes some of us are just very relaxed and we just live our life and we go on without much of it, you know, without a lot of urgency. Is there anybody here that likes to live their life without a lot of urgency? Paul is like, I like to relax, I like to be calm, I like all this stuff. Does this come out with a working of yourself, or the verse that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Yeah. This is the idea that time is short. Now, what Paul is going to do here, you know, he says, he talks about, you know, this idea that we need to refocus our priorities. You know, these people were focused on, well, you know, there were some people teaching this anyway, that if you're married, you should get unmarried. If you're single, or if you're married, you should stop having sex because that's bad and we want to be more holy. Then there are some people who went on to say, if you're married, just get a divorce because it's so much easier for you to be more holy. Don't do that. They were pushing for this, and they were pushing people who were not called or were not given the gift or given that the desire to live. They were saying you need to be by yourself and you need to stay with the Lord and that's it. They're pressuring these people who were engaged to just stop it so that they could be more holy. And what Jesus is saying here is, no, you need to follow Jesus. You need to have an urgency to make your influence known where you are at, whatever situation you find yourself. have a sense of urgency about your life, about your faith. He says, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord, but the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, but how to be holy in body and spirit, but the married woman is anxious about worldly things and how to please her husband. I say this to your benefit, not to lay any restraint on you, but to promote good order and secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. What's he saying? He's not talking about people never getting married. He's not talking about staying unmarried. What he's saying is your first priority in life is where you're at. You need to develop an undivided devotion to the Lord. That's the whole point of this section. Developing an undivided devotion to the Lord. Now, he says here that for people who are married, it's more difficult because they're focused on what? They've got another person to focus on. They've got another relationship to focus on, don't they? And for those who remain single, they don't have those worries. And Paul says this is okay. I say this for your benefit, not to lay any restraint, but to promote good order and secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, if his passions are strong and it has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry. It is no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity, but having a desire under his control and having determined in his heart to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So then he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do better. He doesn't say he's more holy. He's talking about the cares that this person has. And then he really gets to the good stuff here at the end. And he says this. A wife is bound to her husband as long as a wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to be married. Only in the Lord, yet in my judgment, she is happier if she remains as she is. But I think I too have the Spirit of God. What Paul is talking about is this idea in our relationships that wherever we find ourselves, we should work toward knowing who Jesus is. So, if we're single, we should learn as much as we can about Jesus in the time that we have there. What if we're married? Same thing. But as those who are married, what happens? We serve the Lord together. Our focus then as a Christian couple would be what? Jesus. Grab hands and follow Jesus together. It takes a little learning, doesn't it, to serve Jesus together. But that's our focus. As our relationship priorities go, we serve the Lord together. This is a discipleship passage, and he's reordering relationships. Remember when Jesus said, I got to remember the passage, it's in Luke 14. And he says to the people, if somebody's going to follow me, they must do what with their mother and their father and their brothers and sisters? What does he say? Hate. All right? Does he literally mean that you hate them? No, he doesn't say you turn around and just despise. Or what is he saying? What is Jesus saying when he says, hate your mother or father or brothers if you're going to follow me? He's saying we need to reorder our priorities. Focus on Jesus. And Jesus should be the light of our priority. He should be the head of our priorities. We should focus on Him. We should learn to serve God as we are, and as people marry, and if you're married this morning then we should be serving the Lord together, husband and wife, walking hand in hand, focused on Him. Now, how often does that What does that look like during the week? There are a lot of things that we focus on during the week, don't we? What are we going to eat for supper? Where are we going to go this weekend? What responsibilities do we have to meet? How many of you live your life by the calendar? Yeah. But as we live our life by our calendars, as we focus on all our responsibilities, the one thing that we should be doing as a family, serving the Lord together. Undivided devotion. Living with a sense of urgency in our relationships. We must be moving forward. The time is short. This is what Paul is saying. So, as you look at 1 Corinthians, as you think about what Paul has told us here today, how is it that we can understand, number one, that time is short? How is it that we can, we should be praying for this. We should be trying to understand that we only have so much time here and that we have only so much time to exercise influence. Right? And if we realize that, what does that do for us in our relationship? What does that do for us in our marriage? What does it do for us in our singleness? What does it do for us? How does it cause us to behave day by day? What does it mean for me when I go talk to my coworkers or my family? What does it mean for me when I go talk to my friends at school? Or I meet the group of people at the coffee shop. How do I live my life that way? That's a huge challenge. To have Jesus on your mind so that you're able to make the most of every moment of every day. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, help us to understand what it means to know that the time is short. Help us to understand what it means to live urgently, to exercise the influence we have, to take the relationships that we're in and order them so that you're at the top. And that together, as either husband and wife or as someone who is single, or Lord, that you would help us to continue to move towards you, that you would help us to continue to press after you. God, we thank you for this time that we've had this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.